This is Marking Out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Follow on Twitter. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Marking out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Brennan likes this thing. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. We're marking out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
Welcome to Marking Out, Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. This is episode 792. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you. Make sure that you are subscribed and downloading wherever you are listening to podcasts, such as on Spotify. Give us a 5-star rating to go with that 5-star frog splash. Give us a like on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Marking Out, on TikTok at Marking Out, on Instagram at Marking Out 11, and in addition to that, buy a t-shirt, prowrestlingtees.com/Marking Out. Go check us out individually. You can follow me, Dave the Rave, at DavidPTDPT on all social media platforms. Follow Chris at CMSweeney85 on Instagram and Chris Sweendog on Twitter. And follow Brandon at BTTG161 on all social media platforms. But Brandon, how are you?
I am doing awesome as always. How about yourself?
Doing fantastic. What was the happenings this week?
I went to several antique shops. Which
hell
was,
yeah, what were you looking for?
Beyond tiring. I did not care to be there. I wanted to go to nature. I ended up there. I got to see some wrestling stuff.
What do you mean you wanted to go to nature?
So my
Since
friend
when did
asked
you want
me,
to go to nature?
My friend asked if I wanted to go to a few antique shops, and I was like, sure, but I also would like to go see, like, go to, like, a park or something, and just, like, walk through a park or something, be in nature. But, yeah, that part, unfortunately, did not happen. So it was super tiring, and I got to see wrestling stuff, like I said, but nothing like, oh my god, this is the craziest thing ever sort of wrestling stuff. So that was that, and then I tried to make another dish this week where I didn't account for how much liquid would be coming from the frozen broccoli. I guess it was like too blanched before it was frozen, so it was like soft. It kind of ruined the sauce. It didn't really come together, so that's unfortunate. But you could see some of the things that I saw at the thrift stores on our TikTok at Marking Out. You could see some of our, you could see the dish I made at BTDG161 on Instagram. But how was your week?
It was great. It was great. Thanks for asking. It was great, you know. But we had Monday Night Raw with a, I think it was a fun episode, kicking off with a Punker, Phil.
It's funny.
CM Punk.
They sold it like he was going to be joining later on, and then he just ended up walking straight down to the ring. He spoke about last week. He basically called Roman Reigns fake. And CM Punk said that that's the reason why WWE puts him on stuff like Jimmy Fallon. CM Punk said that he's not a safe choice to go be put on Jimmy Fallon. He has been on Jimmy Fallon, by the way. I will say that. It's been many,
but not
many
recently.
Years ago. No. Yeah. But he said Roman Reigns acts like he's The Rock, but The Rock was at least a Hollywood superstar. He had corrected himself. He said is first.
Was.
And then corrected it to was.
Yeah.
I don't need them mentioning Vince McMahon at all. I really don't. But he went on to talk trash about Pat McAfee and what happened on SmackDown. CM Punk told him, call his agent who put him on the show. Tell him to lower the ticket prices. Obviously talking about Ari Emanuel from TKO, the CEO. Ari Gold himself from Entourage.
Now, am I missing something? Did Pat McAfee say something specific about CM Punk?
No, but he spoke about the wrestling landscape in WWE currently. So that would technically include CM Punk.
It sounded dumb to me to switch from CM Punk should stick to whatever's happening on Monday Night Raw.
I guess I don't know. It didn't make sense to me. He is the world champion, so I feel like he should have a say in somebody talking about low ratings and stuff like that.
I don't think so. I think that should be directed by Cody Rhodes.
I feel like
if you're
going to be talking trash about low ratings and everything that Pat McAfee spoke about, I feel like that could be open for both brands to be upset about. And now when they do actually lower the ticket prices, CM Punk could be like, oh, hey, look, guys, it was me. Never got those ice cream bars. Let's get those. Good humor. Where's that deal at?
Yes, I don't know. It didn't make sense to me. It sounded stupid.
Backstage,
but it was a good promo.
What?
It was a good promo.
It was pipe bomb esque. Yeah, I would assume.
Yeah,
it was all
I think that's
scripted,
all he knows
though.
How to do, though.
I think it was way beyond scripted.
I think that's all he knows how to do is the pipe bombs, and it gets. How many times can he listen to a pipe bomb?
I mean, depending on what it is, I very much so enjoyed that opening of Monday Night Raw because it feels like we're in on something together that, like, oh god, we're going against the corporate structure here. He's not supposed to say that. So it feels like we're being let into the what word am I looking for? I don't want to say joke, club? But yeah, the club, sure. Okay. I show Speed backstage. They showed footage of him getting attacked by LA Knight at his house on stream. I think that is one of the greatest. Would you call that a wrestling clip? Technically, yes, right? No?
No.
I mean, it's LA Knight and happening because of pro wrestling.
I mean, what was your question? If it's a wrestling show?
No, I said, would you call that one of the greatest wrestling clips? Would you classify that as a wrestling clip? Of him being thrown into his camera?
I would say it's wrestling involvement. I wouldn't say it's the greatest wrestling clip.
I'm not saying the greatest. I'm saying one of the greatest. That the whole setup to that was fantastic. Him flying into the camera before it cut, I thought was great.
You're allowed to your opinions.
He showed up. He showed up. He was begging
to a point.
Danhausen to uncurse him, and Danhausen again laid out a bunch of nonsense for him to get uncursed and disappeared. Adam Pearce told Speed to just go home, and then the Vision showed up and told Speed not to listen to Adam Pearce and said that what LA Knight did was unforgivable, and they said, you'll be safe with us, come with us. And then they took Speed out for the first match. We saw LA Knight pick up the victory over Austin Theory. Somewhat of an even match here. At one point, though, you had Logan Paul shove Speed into LA Knight. Knight got knocked over, and he walked Speed up the ramp, and then the Usos showed up, no longer have that brand new theme song.
Yeah, that makes no sense to me. Why they would do use on
apparently
last week
was,
when they lose the championship.
There was blowback, and then, apparently.
What's that?
There was blowback, apparently, from how bad the theme song was.
I thought that it was fine. I was more so excited that they finally had it.
That theme song sucked. They should have just gone back to the Uso theme song that we had before the Jey Uso theme song.
I don't know. Right, I think there. That it was stupid to debut a brand new theme song on a night that you lose the championships too.
Yeah. But that make sense Speed jumped over LA Knight and ran into the ring, and then when LA Knight was distracted with Speed, Austin Theory got that roll up. And then Speed begged for mercy afterwards. The Usos went after. They went for the 1D and Logan Paul saved him. And then LA Knight called Adam Pearce out. And this was made for WrestleMania, six-man tag.
Mm-hmm. Should be fun.
Yeah, I have absolutely
should be a good
zero,
six-man tag and everything.
I have no problem with that.
No, I don't either. I think that it will be good, and it's going to get a huge. It's great publicity to include Speed into this entire equation.
I don't think people realize how famous he is.
I. I understand how famous he is just because of his numbers and stuff like that. And it seems like he has a huge connection to the, I guess, the Gen Z community.
Community?
But
the Gen Z generation? Generation Z?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Generation Z. But next up, you had Finn Balor versus JD McDonagh not take place. More so, beat down city.
Yeah, Dom attacked Finn Balor, but Finn Balor took over. Eventually, Dominic Mysterio knocked Finn Balor down with the Mega Championship. Balor had a video later on saying there's another side of him that he's never shown Dominic Mysterio before. And then he started to transform into the demon, and then WWE posted he's back in the IWC. How effing dare he? How effing dare they post that before? How could they not leave that as a surprise? Brother, they set it up on Monday Night Raw. If you're watching the show, you see that he's going to be the demon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the complaint like that.
I mean,
people are still going to pop for the entrance regardless. Like, it's a thing. It's going to happen.
When did they mention the demon or reference the demon after that beatdown? Did I miss something?
Yeah, the video. There was a video promo where he turns into the demon.
Okay, I didn't see the video promo then. All right, so then they showed they debuted the, well, they didn't debut, but they showed that the demon was going to be there instead of Finn Balor. There's,
I mean, it's not literally gonna, a nothing layup. For nothing. I have another side of myself that I have never shown you. And then he literally transforms into the demon. And people are like, how dare they just put it in a graphic? They didn't. Watch the show.
Nobody's going to buy a ticket just because the demon's going to be there.
I think people are going to buy a ticket just because it's WrestleMania.
Exactly. So I don't know
why
people
are, if this was another event and they were advertising the demon, maybe that would sell tickets. I would be excited to see the demon.
I agree with you. I'm excited
if
to see
I was
the
going
demon,
to WrestleMania, I would be excited to see the demon.
100%. I'm going to be excited to see the demon, to see that entrance and everything like that. It's been a very long time. I don't even know the last time that we saw the demon.
Demon needs to win, though.
100%. Demon needs to win.
And I wish they put the Mega Championship on the line, but then, like I said the other week, it would set up Balor versus El Grande Americano. Can't quite do that.
True.
And then later on, we had Liv Morgan speak with Roxanne about Finn Balor. She was, it seemed like she was going to be on the exact same page. Obviously, we saw Roxanne help Liv Morgan the other week before she could say anything. 70 Vicaire attacked Liv Morgan, smashed Liv Morgan's head into Roxanne Perez's head. Had to hurt. I mean, the aftermath of that, we saw the picture, those giant bumps on both of their heads. That was insane.
I know. I felt so bad for the both of them because I'm happy to read that they did go into concussion protocol or evaluation because that was a tough hit. That was a very tough hit. And then to see that bruise on, I didn't see the, I think maybe I have seen the bruise with Roxanne, but
what happens there? They got to drain that? How does that naturally go down? They smooth it out with a butter knife? What happens?
Yeah, I would just say cold compression. Let it go down naturally. I wouldn't make any incisions or anything like that. I mean, technically, you could take a syringe and probably drain whatever fluid. Maybe that's what they did because I saw a picture of her the other day and it seems to be going down compared to where it was.
Liv Morgan, the next day, posted it on the airplane. It wasn't a bump anymore, so.
Yeah, so maybe, it's likely maybe they did drain it with a syringe, kind of like if you had fluid in the knee.
Hopefully both of them are fine for WrestleMania. They also aired a video, a teaser for Liv Morgan where she was like dancing with a chair. It looked like a pussycat doll thing. I don't know if that means the pussycat dolls are going to show up at WrestleMania and do her entrance or something, but
I mean, they are making a comeback, apparently.
I would not call what they're doing a comeback. I feel like they are struggling to sell tickets.
I mean, they're struggling to come back, but they're trying to come back.
I mean,
next up, you had AG AJ Lee sit down backstage where she was being interviewed, but it was interrupted by Becky.
Yeah, and she called Michael Cole terrible.
I think once again, AJ Lee is getting the best of Becky Lynch in those interviews.
Yeah, Becky Lynch basically said that it's not going to be like how it was at the Elimination Chamber, and AJ Lee was just like, keep underestimating me. But I'm proud of you. I'm proud of everything that you've done for the business. None of it would have happened without me. Also, when you go home at night, I'm your kid's favorite wrestler.
I like that she keeps on bringing that up. But I will say, with AJ Lee keep on continuously saying that and everything, and Becky Lynch really getting fired up, like when she said that and walked away, Becky Lynch kicked that chair over. She was getting pissed off. I think it's going to come back to bite AJ Lee. I actually think Becky's going to come out as the winner.
I think it would be awesome to see like a Sandman situation there where we see the kid actually involved. But I don't think that's going to happen. I feel like she's still too young for that. Where it's like, oh, I'm a huge AJ Lee fan, and then AJ embraces her in the ring or whatever, and then that leads to Becky Lynch actually getting the victory where she, like, turns on AJ Lee. I feel like that's Wrestling 101, where it's, like, perfectly set up for that, but I feel like the kid is too young for that.
How old?
I'm not sure, but... I mean, I don't know. I don't know if...
Yeah.
It would be a huge moment for WrestleMania, but...
I don't even think that I would involve, but...
I think it would be cool.
We'll see what happens, you know? Like I said, even from the beginning, I don't want to see a long title reign from AJ Lee. So, like, I don't see AJ Lee having a SummerSlam matchup.
In a perfect world, though, we would have seen more matches with her as champion.
I agree. I mean, unfortunately, it seems like many of the champions aren't defending. Like, look at Stephanie Vaquer. She just hit 200 days, and I think only, like, four title defenses, I think. So, I don't know. Makes you wonder. But next up, you had Bayley pick up the victory over Lash Legend. I gotta say, this match, it seemed like Bayley was really carrying Lash Legend, and I haven't seen Lash Legend perform to this. I haven't seen Lash Legend perform like this in a long time, but there was a lot of things that just wasn't connecting with me and Lash.
That's interesting. I think, first of all, Lash Legend controlled most of this match. But it was kind of annoying because... So Nia Jax caused some distractions. They come back from commercial, start the match. Nia Jax gets involved and they basically cut to commercial again.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, when Nia Jax was involved, Lyra Valkyria tried to stop her. Nia Jax caught her, slammed her down. Charlexa showed up. They attacked Nia Jax. Bayley takes all of them out. Lash superplexed Bayley off the top rope, but Lyra Valkyria got the leg. The referee didn't see that. She helped Bayley reverse that, get the pin, the momentum to get the pin also. So it gave Bayley a big win. I still hope for Bayley and Lyra Valkyria to be walking out of WrestleMania as tag team champions. So my fingers are crossed for that.
I would like that too. Yeah, this match, it was more so, once again, building up the entire matchup for WrestleMania.
And then, of course, Kabuki Warriors, there's rumor that they might be stepping in there. They aired a video later on with Asuka, saying that Io is trying to take Kairi from her. She loved her. She paved the way for her for them to come to WWE. I'm looking forward to Asuka versus Io if it happens, but they say I don't know what'll happen there.
My issue is, like, I think the same thing with you. You want to see, what is it, Asuka versus Kairi at some point, right?
Eventually.
Like, that's going...
I mean, I don't know when that would happen, though.
That's the thing. I don't, like... Obviously, you're going to have some interference with Io, right? Because she's convincing Kairi and stuff like that. Maybe a big beatdown of of Io, and then you have that full face turn from Kairi, where she comes to her senses and this and that stands up to Asuka. But I feel like right now at WrestleMania, I would love to see something between them.
Like I'm really hoping that, because that's what the news sites were saying, is that obviously Nikki Bella, she rolled her ankle the other week, so they're holding off on them being at TV. So hopefully she's fine for WrestleMania, and then if not, then they could just insert the Kabuki Warriors into that match, which to me really doesn't make sense. You spent more time building up Julia and Kiana James to be in that spot there. Also,
I do agree with you on that. I think that Julia and James would be better in that spot, and also, I think that
also
I think I would build the Asuka versus Kairi for SummerSlam. I think that because if they do anything else, there's not enough spots or time for them. I would put them on.
Nobody is saying Asuka versus Kairi.
I'm sorry.
Nobody is saying Asuka versus Kairi at WrestleMania.
You're the only WrestleMania would only that. Be them being included as a tag team, but
no, you're the only like person said, saying Julia. That. The match is supposed to be Asuka versus Io. They set it up on Monday Night Raw for Asuka versus Io.
Even Asuka versus Io. Even Asuka versus Io, I wouldn't put on WrestleMania. I don't think that they're going to have enough time to do.
Definitely put that on WrestleMania.
The only way I would want to see Asuka versus Io on WrestleMania is if they could actually have a 10-minute to 20-minute matchup, which I hate to say.
I mean, they're starting WrestleMania earlier this year, so
it's hard for me to, after everything, like, I could see them going out there for 5 minutes, and I read, like, these are two of the best. I would love to see just 20 to even 30 minutes of them going at it, and I don't know if, time-wise, I would be able to get what I want out of it.
In regards to whether or not Nikki Bella is cleared to compete, they have a partnership with TNA. I know you'll be like, absolutely not, it makes no sense, because you probably don't remember anything. They have a partnership with TNA. They could easily get Team Bella back together and have Brie team up with Alicia Fox. Easily.
Oh, ew. No.
Easily they could do that.
That would be a total. I would rather replace with Julia or Kabuki Warriors.
But with Julia and Kiana James.
Yeah, I wouldn't put Alicia Fox into there.
I mean, if the Bella twins are in the storyline, it's a very, very easy quick swap there.
At that rate, just keep them out. Because now you have to find a way to keep swap. Then you have to find a way to include Alicia Fox in the future.
No, you really don't.
What, so she just has one WrestleMania match, loses, and that's it? She just goes away?
Well, yeah, we found a replacement for Nikki Bella. Team Bella back together.
Better options I'd want to see.
Seth Rollins! He said that there's only one reason he could think of as to why Gunther attacked him, and it's because he's in business with Paul Heyman. He wants his title back. He also wants to kill the Vision. He said Logan Paul and Austin Theory are tied up with the Usos. Bronson Reed, Bron Breakker, out. So what did he have to do? He set up Obafemi to take on Brock Lesnar. And he warned Gunther that if his intentions are to be the Shield for Paul Heyman, it may be business for him, but it's very personal for him. And Gunther came out, went to attack Seth Rollins, very quickly got locked in a sleeper. That was a very nice reversal of that sleeper. Maybe the best we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
They brawled. Gunther did knock Seth Rollins down. He got up and chased Gunther. He was held back. And then Paul Heyman backstage said that he doesn't know why Gunther did what he did, which is like, oh my God, that's insane that Paul Heyman didn't. He's not in cahoots with Gunther. And he said, I owe you a big thank you. And Gunther was like, it's personal to me too. It's not just personal to Seth Rollins. And he shook Paul Heyman's hand and he goes, you owe me so much more than a thank you. That, obviously has to plant seeds right there. I'm going to call in that favor. Hello, Paul, remember when I did this for you? I'm retiring Brock Lesnar. Where's SummerSlam? Minneapolis? Boom. Sets it up perfect for that.
Huh. So you would retire, you wouldn't even have Lesnar finish later that. You would wrap him up at
SummerSlam. I mean, unless you're, they announced that deal, I believe. There was a WrestleMania that was supposed to take place there. Don't know when that's happening.
I mean, I could go with what you're saying. I definitely think that it would be a good idea. I would be down for that. You know?
Yeah.
Next up, you had Penta, Dragon Lee, and Javon Evans pick up the victory over Los Americanos. This was a fast-paced, fun matchup, I believe.
Chaotic at times. Kofi Kingston, again, yeah, watching this match backstage.
Yeah, I was about to say, sometimes a little bit tough to follow.
I liked when Penta reversed Rio, and he went flying into the corner. I thought that was like, and then it was like the perfect setup for Dragon Lee to do that double stomp. Javon hit the OG cutter eventually on, I think it was Bravo to get the victory. But ultimately, it sets up for Rey Mysterio to come out. He hypes up the ladder match, and he said that he missed WrestleMania last year because of an injury. But the match at WrestleMania this year, the Intercontinental Championship ladder match, is missing Rey Mysterio. So now he's in the ladder match.
Which I'm excited about. I think that ladder match is going to be a lot of fun.
I still feel like we have to see more.
What do you mean more and who?
I still feel like Vikingo will make it into this match. He's facing Penta this weekend. I feel like he's not going to win the Intercontinental Championship, but I feel like he has to kind of be in this match also.
Tough to say.
Main event of Monday Night Raw saw Rio pick up the victory over B-Fab and Mia Yim. Obviously, the heels cheated. That's unfortunately the norm now. Which, by the way, people earlier in the night when Bayley and Lyra cheated, people were like, how dare they? They're the baby faces. Baby faces don't cheat. But the heels cheated first. If a heel cheats first, baby face cheats doesn't count as a heel thing. Here, the heels are just cheating. Jade Cargill got involved. I was looking forward to this match, but it really wasn't much of a match. They all beat down EO afterwards. Rhea Ripley took B-Fab and Mia Yim down. They came back after Jade knocked her down, though, and they held her in the corner. And Jade Cargill went after EO with the kendo stick and then hit Jaded. Kind of seemed rushed, but like, that was the ending.
Yeah. It seemed rushed and stuff like that. I'm curious to see what's going to continue to happen with B-Fab and Mia Yim. I don't know where else they can go. It's tough.
Well, they're in this group now, so.
Yeah, true. Next up, you had the main event segment where Brock Lesnar, Obafemi, contract signing. First off, you had Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman come on out.
I mean, first of all, was you Paul had even Triple there? H and Adam Pearce presiding over this.
Yeah.
And Paul Heyman interrupted Adam Pearce. He hyped up Brock Lesnar. He brought Brock out. Obafemi came out. Brock Lesnar attacked him. Obafemi got the better of Brock, tackled him through a table. A bunch of security showed up. Rinse and repeat. Brawl after brawl after brawl after brawl. Abrupt ending. If it works for the live crowd, though, it works. So, I don't need to see this again. Just get to the match.
I agree. Next week, I would not feature them. I think that this was perfectly fine way to end it. You had both of them going
to the table. I feel
like
this could have been ended the other week.
I'm okay with this. I'm okay with this.
It wasn't necessary.
I was surprised that they both went through the table the manner that they did, but I was a fan of it. I liked it.
Moving back in time to NXT Stand and Deliver, away from WrestleMania week. Kind of thank God for that, because It was kind of a brutal WrestleMania schedule there.
Yeah.
But the kickoff show had Hank and Tank, Shiloh Hill, E.K. Prosper, formerly Eli Knight, and the speed champion Ren Sinclair pick up the victory over Birthright. This opened with chaos before the bell. I think Birthright definitely needed this win, but I also at the same time didn't want to see Ren Sinclair lose a match.
Uh-huh.
At one point, she locked Ariana Grace in the final wrench, and Charlie Dempsey broke it up. Kind of heartbreaking there. And then they got into it, but she rubbed it in his face after the match, after she got the victory. I think Prosper and Sinclair were both standouts in this match. So I'm looking forward to more from them.
Yeah, I think that this was very good, and I'm very happy that we have that new name for EK Prosper.
Yeah.
Very happy with that change, finally, because we don't need two knights.
I mean, also the fact that it was Eli, too, is like, what are the odds of that?
I mean, come on. Let's no.
Stand and Deliver kicked off with Shawn Michaels introducing Sexy Red, who was the host. She really didn't do anything, so I don't know. You can't really judge her off of that, but was it the best use of her? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't say the best use of her. I feel like it was the best use of her, but
I mean, to me, I don't care. Not my cup of tea.
It doesn't do anything for me that she's there.
Yeah, it's just a celebrity that connects to some people, but I don't know her music, so it doesn't really do anything for me.
First official match of Stand and Deliver, though, saw Lola Vice pick up the victory over Kendall Gray and JC Jane to become the new NXT Women's Champion. I thought this was a great triple threat.
I agree. This was a fun triple threat, and I really liked this matchup. I thought that all three of them was very, very great. And I think all three of them, every week I put over the women's division on NXT. All three of them are incredible. But I'm glad that Lola Vice is finally the women's champion. Well-deserving, and loved her promo, too, that she cut.
I liked right at the beginning, Lola Vice and Kendall Gray took out JC Jane, and then it kind of turned into something similar to what we saw at Madison Square Garden between Lola and Kendall. Mm-hmm. I liked JC pinning both of them at the same time. But later on, we saw Lainey Reed get involved. She held down Lola's leg. I thought we were going to see more involvement from Fatal Influence throughout the match. But that didn't really... I mean, we did see more interference from them. Like, even later on, JC had tweaked her knee with a kick to Lola. Kendall ends up locking her in the ankle lock. Lola then locks her into a sleeper. That breaks up the ankle lock. JC missed the rolling encore. Gray hit that back elbow. Lola Vice hits the back fist. She flies out of the ring. And Lola Vice breaks up the pin last second. Fatal Influence, that's when we see them get involved. And Ren Sinclair ends up fighting them to the back. Kendall Gray hits the moonsault to the outside to Lola and JC. She hits Shades of Gray from the top rope. It's like, that's about to be it. Lola Vice locks in a sleeper. JC ends up hitting the rolling encore on Kendall Gray. And then Lola Vice hits that back fist again on JC, gets the victory. So well done between the three of them. Very good opening. I'll talk more about this in a few moments, though.
Yeah, I'm glad that they got to do this, too. But next up, you had the Vanity Project pick the victory over Los Americanos to retain their championships. It was entertaining.
Yeah, I thought Los Americanos were great in this. I thought this was a very good match for the Vanity Project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice little showcase for them, especially I feel like they needed a good showcase in this matchup.
Yeah, and I like the flapjack kick that Bravo did. I don't even know what to really call it. He did that modified, like, Northern Lights suplex to both of them at the same time. Americano gave Bravo the gimmick to load his mask up. He didn't get to use it right away. I feel like when Brad Baylor did the knee, it should have affected his knee. when he hit the plate. But Ricky Smokes took the plate from Bravo's mask. He hit it, and then I thought Ryo was about to win with the X-Plex. Didn't happen. Jackson Drake got involved. Americano ends up taking him out. And then Brad Baylor took Americano out, and with the referee distracted, Drake punched Bravo, which led to that victory there.
Nah.
I didn't think Los Americanos were going to get the titles there, so I walked in thinking that we were going to see them retain.
I didn't either. I think that Vanity Project have to hold on to the championships for a bit longer, because I think they really have to utilize it to make a name for themselves right now. Which they are, which is good. But next up, you had Sol Ruka pick the victory over Zarya, and this match I can't agree with.
Sol, she ran right in to start the match, and I think overall this match was what it needed to be, but Zarya really needed to win this.
Exactly.
But the match itself I thought was very well done. The Sol Snatcher on the ramp I thought was cool. Zarya got up and speared Sol Ruka into the ring. She went for the F5, but her back gave out. Sol Ruka hit another Sol Snatcher. Zarya kicked out of that. She went for the springboard buckshot, but Zarya speared her. I like that counter. It's one of the parts where your former tag team, you know each other so well, you know what the next move is about to be. She hit the F5. Sol Ruka kicked out of that. And then Sol tried to reason with Zarya. Did you think that part? Do you think Sol Ruka was faking it?
I don't know. I didn't think she was, but I don't
know. Zarya, I mean, she didn't buy into it. She hit her with a barrage of headbutts. She went for the F5 from the middle rope, and Sol got out of it, hit the X Factor off the top rope. Hit a third Sol Snatcher, get the victory. We know there's another match, not to jump forward, but that obviously has to be Zarya's big win.
Yeah, I need to see Zarya get a big win, but I need her to be dominant. Like, I need domination from Zarya. She has that sort of a persona where, I mean, look at her entrance video, even her hype video when she was first coming into the WWE. I feel like she should be leaving a path of destruction, which we haven't necessarily been seeing while she's been with Sol Ruka. And I want to see her go on a path of destruction.
Yeah, so we'll put a pin in that for now until we get to NXT. The next match saw Miles Bourne pick up the victory over Johnny Gargano to retain the North American Championship. During the match, Johnny got mopey again. Just lied flat on the mat. He's playing possum. And this was Johnny Wrestling. And I thought it was a good match for Miles Bourne to have, to especially defend the North American Championship against. I liked that angle slam into the ring post from him. I liked the top rope power slam from Miles Bourne. Johnny hit the Willow's Bell. He hit one final beat. Bourne kicked out. Johnny hit the super kick, went for a Gargano escape, got hit with Bourne again. Didn't get all of it because of the ring post from earlier with the back or whatever. Candice got involved. Johnny Gargano locked in the Gargano escape, but Bourne got to the rope. The fans booed. They wanted Johnny Gargano to win this. And he went for one final beat on the ramp, but Bourne blocked it. He hit the Bourne again into the ring, which I thought was dope. And then he hit another one in the the ring to get the victory.
Yeah, it's nice to see Miles Bourne have a match with Johnny Gargano, because you knew that Johnny Gargano was going to bring out a really good caliber of Miles Bourne during this, and I thought that this was a very good match. And what did our friend Dave Meltzer say about it?
I have no idea. I didn't see anything.
I'm sure he loved when Johnny Gargano kind of reverted back into that state of mind. I'm sure he loved it.
I'm not sure. But now Johnny's like, well, I don't know what else is next. And everyone's like, hell yeah, brother, he's coming to AEW.
Even though they were bashing him the other week about everything.
They bashed him many a times. But after the match, Dion Lennox cracked Miles Bourne with a chair. Johnny Gargano didn't help. I thought for sure Johnny Gargano was going to run back down, and that didn't happen. Saquon Sugars was annoyed that Deion Lennox did that by himself without telling the others.
Yeah.
That led me to think something was going to happen, and I'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah, but we had Tatum Paxley pick up the victory over Blake Monroe to retain her championship. I thought that this was needed.
I like the poem that Paxley read before the match. Part of like the big, WrestleMania-esque entrance of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Monroe hit the stratosphere onto the ramp, and Tatum supposedly separated her shoulder. They obviously didn't stop the match for that, so she didn't actually separate the shoulder, I assume?
Mm-hmm.
But Blake Monroe was able to work that throughout the match. Tatum Paxley really powered through. I like that superplex into the suplex, into the sit-out, I guess you would say sit-out perfectplex, maybe? I don't know if there's a specific name for that, but Blake Monroe at one point removed two of the turnbuckle pads. And when the referee was dealing with that, she used the championship to hit Tatum. Pax barely kicks out of that. And then she rolled through a stratosphere attempt. She hit that rolling kick. Then Blake hits that headbutt. Her head hits the exposed turnbuckle. Again, barely kicking out of that. And she turned the glamour shot DDT into the cemetery drive and gets the victory there. And I think the women, like you said earlier, the women really killed it on this show.
And they were featured so heavily, too. I think that it was incredible.
Yeah. But main event saw Tony D'Angelo pick up the victory over Joe Hendry, Ricky Saints, and Ethan Page to become the new NXT, I almost said North American champion, the new NXT champion. Very, very, very chaotic. We did see Ethan Page and Ricky Saints working together until it came time for one of them to win. Then they argued. They got back onto the onto track there. I liked Ethan Page superplexing, suplexing Tony. Not Tony. Suplexing Ricky Saints onto Tony D'Angelo. I thought that was a good use, and Ricky Saints was like, what the hell, man? I thought that was a funny spot. But Ethan Page said that they were like, let's cover together. That obviously didn't work out. They set up the Power and Glory spot. Ethan Page splashed Ricky Saints instead after that superplex to Joe Hendry. So there went that. Ricky Saints speared him as payback. They did get back on Page again. They did that the double lion tamer spot. Tony D'Angelo, though, at one point got super fired up, started tossing everyone out. Joe Hendry went for the standing ovation on Ricky Saints. Tony speared him twice, I think it was. I thought that was about to be it, but Ricky Saints grabbed a chair. He hit the Revolution DDT onto the chair. Ethan Page broke it up, and then they brawled. That took them out of the match. Tony D'Angelo speared both of them through the commentary table. Hit another spear on Joe Hendry, and then hit the dead to rights to get the victory there.
I'm very happy that Tony D'Angelo picked up the victory.
The last and of 2.0.
Yeah, and I believe this makes him a Grand Slam?
Yes. He has the NXT, the NXT North American Championship, the Tag Team Championship, and the Heritage Cup. But this, after he won the match, it just ended. No Dark State. That promo with Dark State, really, to me, I was like, oh, 100%, we're going to see Dark State do something here. Or we're going to see some like big surprise. If that was the ending, then I would have been fine with that. Because that was the ending, I feel like the women should have main evented with Lola Vice winning the title on the last match.
I could see that. I could understand why.
But we go from Stand and Deliver to NXT with Tony D'Angelo kicking it off, saying that he said that nobody's going to be taking that title from him. And he listed Ethan Page, he listed Ricky Saints, Joe Hendry, Joe Hendry showed up. Ethan Page showed up. Blamed his losing on Ricky Saints. Saints showed up. Tony said that the outcome, regardless of what happened, would have still been the same. He would have been walking out as the new NXT champion. And then that's when Dark State showed up. And they attacked them. Security ran out. The roster, I think, was even out there to try and separate it. Robert Stone set up an 8-man tag for the top of the hour. And then later on, we go to that tag team match. We saw Joe Hendry, Ricky Saints, Ethan Page, the new champion, Tony D'Angelo, pick up the victory over Dark State. It was chaotic. I think this is what Dark State matches should always be, but with them winning. And only if Dark State is going somewhere big. I didn't understand that outcome there.
Yeah, they don't really pick up many victories at times.
Like, why are people afraid of them if they're not picking up victories? There's no reason. They're not like a unit there. At one point, they were.
Yeah, they're not working together.
It doesn't make sense. And then Miles Bourne showed up, attacked Dion Lennox. And at the end of the match, Ethan Page tagged himself in, took Tony out after he put Sugars down, and then hit the Twisted Grin to get the victory there. And then Tony took him out afterwards. So I assume the next thing between anyone is going to be Ethan Page and Tony D'Angelo. Or maybe it'll be a triple threat with Saints involved again. I don't know. I feel like they shouldn't run back any of that.
Not needed.
I hope not.
You don't have to run
it back. Let Joe Hendry go up to SmackDown or Monday Night Raw. Let Ethan Page
in. Especially after Mania.
What?
Especially after Mania.
Yeah, let Ricky Saints and Ethan Page come up. I wouldn't even mind them as a tag team on the main roster.
Yeah, we're right here. We don't have to do anything else.
We saw Izzy Dame pick up the victory over Sol Ruka. I didn't know what was going to happen in this match because of what happened at Stand and Deliver. For what the match was, I liked it. But Sol Ruka, this was not a typical match that we've seen from Izzy Dame recently. Sol Ruka, I would say, controlled like 95% of this. Zarya showed up. She speared Sol Ruka when the referee didn't see. Izzy Dame got the victory off of that. And then Zarya said that it ends when she says it ends. Yeah. So, which we now know will be a last woman standing match next week.
Should be good.
That's why I assume Sol Ruka is going to be going up to Monday Night Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, could be.
Next and up, then we had get, Keanu we Carver. Get your dominant run from Zarya, hopefully.
I hope so. Next up, you had Keanu Carver pick up the victory over Jasper Troy and Josh Briggs. I think that necessary for Carver to pick up the victory, but also on the other hand, I think that I need to see big things from Troy and Briggs too.
Yeah, and I feel like this is exactly how you would have expected a match with the three big guys who wanted to fight each other to go.
Yeah.
Josh Briggs went to chokeslam Jasper Troy at one point. Carver pounced Troy out of the ring during the lift of the chokeslam. I thought that was really cool. The replay kind of didn't really look that cool, but like when it first aired, I was like, oh, that's awesome. But yeah, Carver got the victory. I feel like that was the much needed victory there for Carver.
Yeah, after, I agree with you.
After that, we saw Alexis King pick up the victory over Chaz Starboy Hall. Formerly Starboy Charlie, new to Evolve, new to NXT. Well known on the independent circuit. But he had a lower third promo.
But it was good to see.
You've never heard of Starboy Charlie?
Uh-uh.
That's interesting. He had a lower third promo before the match, and I thought it was an impressive debut. There was no way Lexus King wasn't winning this match, but well done for Starboy.
Agreed.
Earlier in the night, we saw the Vanity Project give Blake Monroe a customized North American Championship. Robert Stone was like, that's not how it works. And then they said that what he can do is give her a mixed tag match for next week, maybe work her way back up. And then we saw, or not next week, just a mixed tag match. We saw Blake Monroe and Jackson Drake pick up the victory over Shiloh Hill and Tatum Paxley. They started at one point. They had a tug of war over the two North American championships. We saw Blake refuse to get in the ring at one point. But Shiloh had tagged in, so Tatum Paxley got her into the ring. Drake saved her from the cemetery drive. Tatum Paxley sent Blake Monroe into Jackson Drake. Both of them got locked in the Romero special. Thought that was about to be the end of the match where Blake Monroe and Jackson Drake lose. Not the case. I liked when Tatum Paxley took Jackson Drake and Blake Monroe out at the same time. But the Vanity Project kept getting involved. And that is basically what led to Blake Monroe getting the victory there.
Yeah.
I have to assume now that there's two championships, I have to assume we're going to see a ladder match.
Okay. I could be down with that. That could be interesting.
Even though Robert Stone doesn't recognize Blake Monroe as a North American champion, nor should anybody. But now that she has a customized title, people are theorizing that's what eventually was supposed to be hers. And then Thea Hale accidentally won it.
Possible. Okay.
But Robert Stone announced NXT Revenge, which will be a two-week special starting next week. Tony versus Ethan Page, Sol Ruka versus Zarya, Last Woman Standing, Joe Hendry concert, Jada Parker versus Kalani Jordan, as well as the debut, or not debut, the, I guess, official main roster call-up for NXT for Callie Armstrong. Callie Armstrong was very impressive every time that we've seen her on NXT, every time that she's wrestled in it evolved. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with her. And then NXT closes with Lola Vice. And she said that she was ready for the championship the minute she debuted. And she said she was the biggest signing in 2022. They gave her a whole media tour. And then everyone's like, so-and-so was signed in 22. They returned in 20, blah, blah, blah. No, brother. She was the only person who got the media tour. That's what she's talking about. They put so many cards behind her. They stacked the deck for Lola Vice. It was a huge signing when they signed her. Yes, Cody Rhodes returned to WWE. MMA. Nobody got a media tour except for Lola Vice. But she said, looking back to 2022, she wasn't ready. And she brought up going to AAA, and then Fatal Influence interrupted, and JC told her to enjoy the win because it's the last one she's going to get over her. She wants a rematch. Stone made the match for next week, and then Fallon and Lady attacked Lola Vice. JC joined in, but Lola Vice fought them all off. I don't know if all those matches are announced for next week or what, but that's a very stacked episode of NXT if that's the case.
I agree. I think it's totally a stacked matchup card right now and lineup for that NXT. And Lola Vice, I think that it was a great promo from her, especially with her first one as champion. She needed a solid, loud promo, and I think we got exactly what we needed to hear.
Yeah, it was emotional, it's heartfelt, and I enjoyed it. I'm very happy to see Lola Vice. I would have preferred for Kendall Gray to win that, but Lola Vice, I think, has undoubtedly worked her ass off to get to where she is there.
Agreed.
This is really, literally the beginning for Kendall Gray, so sky is the limit there. But I'm happy to see Lola Vice. I hope she goes far with the championship. I was also hoping to see Mr. Iguana at the celebration, but that didn't happen. Of course, I guess with what happened, not necessary, but... So that is NXT. Moving over to SmackDown. It kicked off with Rhea Ripley. She yelled to Jade Cargill and said that now it's personal because her weakness is Io Sky. And she called Jade out, but Io showed up instead. Io said that she's also pissed off, and she called Jade out. She wants the face off, and Nick Aldis came out, set up the match for the main event. I'll put a pin in that. First match saw Alexa Bliss pick up the victory over Bayley. I thought this was really good. They had a lot of good back and forth. That tornado DDT spot was nasty. But I liked some of this stuff. Bayley taunted, I said that weird, Charlotte during the match while she was chopping Alexa Bliss. She was doing the woos and everything. I also liked when Alexa taunted Lyra Valkyria doing that little dance gimmick that she did that one time. But Charlotte got involved. She threw her jacket at Bayley. With that distraction, Bliss was able to get the roll-up and get the victory. I feel like that's like rinse and repeat. We keep seeing that ending. It almost even happened later on as well. You had Royce Keyes make his official SmackDown debut against Humberto Carrillo. They aired a video package for him before him, which was really well done. And I thought this was a decent TV debut for him. We didn't really get much in it. But Angel Garza got involved. Keyes clotheslined him off the apron. I didn't really like him using the spine buster as a finisher. I think that's typically a signature of his, but we'll see where Hobbs go. Royce Keyes goes next. Solo Sikoa spoke to him later on. That was very interesting because he said his door is always open. I don't know where that leads. We had Pat McAfee come out. I like the segment. I like the segment before earlier in the night with Jelly Roll and Pat. Nobody was allowed to touch Pat. Nick Aldis yelled at Jelly Roll for doing that. But Pat went to the ring. He addressed CM Punk. He called him a fraud. He moved on to Cody. Cody came out. Cody basically called him a mark. He brought up Paul Bosch and how Paul Bosch used to say that they're not marks, they're customers. And Cody took it a step further and said they're not customers, they're family. And he said everyone wants to see Randy Orton at WrestleMania. They don't want to see Pat McAfee. And Pat said if Orton doesn't walk out as champion, we'll never see or hear from him again. Cody went to leave. Pat taunted him, which made Cody go back to the ring. And then Randy Orton showed up on the entrance video, the Tron. He took out Jelly Roll, and then he dragged Jelly Roll out. Orton attacked Cody Rhodes, and they brawled. Pat stole the WWE Championship and drove off. Something interesting, you might not have seen it back in the background during the Jelly Roll segment with Pat McAfee at the beginning. Aleister Black was watching. Backstage with Randy Orton and Pat McAfee, Aleister Black and Zelina Vega were watching. Should be interesting. Earlier, Drew McIntyre had a vignette, spoke about Jacob Fatu from a jail cell, and Jacob Fatu was interviewed about that. Solo Sikoa interrupted him and said Jacob's past makes them look bad. And then Solo put what he was saying on Tama Tonga, which Tama Tonga didn't seem really pleased about, and that gets set up into a match where Jacob Fatu gets the victory over Tama Tonga. I like this match. I think it's been nice seeing Tama Tonga get more offense in matches. But Jacob Fatu stopped the cutthroat. He hit the pop-up Samoan drop. Hit the moonsault. Gets the victory there. And then he went to speak after the match. And Drew McIntyre attacked him. Locked him in handcuffs. Just absolutely tore Jacob Fatu apart. So that pushes their unsanctioned match. Also earlier on, they had a segment in the trainer's room with Carmelo Hayes rehabbing his knee. Matt Cardona told Carmelo Hayes that he'll have his Mania moment one day. And then Lil Yachty and Trick Williams walked in. They poked fun at Carmelo Hayes. It turned into Trick Williams versus Matt Cardona. You had Sami Zayn come out, cut a promo. Fans are booing him. He addressed it. And he said he always tries to give somebody something. He cares about the fans who look up to him. He also said that he doesn't know what exactly he did to get booed, but he's walking into WrestleMania as champion, and he's walking out as champion. And then Trick Williams came out and said that people are tired of hearing Sami Zayn talk. And Sami kind of fired up and reminded Trick Williams that he is a main eventer, a WrestleMania main eventer, so he's going to put him to the test. And then Trick Williams went on to defeat Matt Cardona. I thought this was solid. I'd really like to see Cardona win that WWE Championship. Right now, it's not at that level, and I really do hope we get there. Trick, at one point, pushed Sami Zayn during the match. He got up on the apron. Lil Yachty pulled him off. And then Sami Zayn absolutely rocked him with a Huluva kick. That was awesome. And Cardona tried to roll Trick Williams up. He kicked out, hit the trick shot, boom, 1, 2, 3. Earlier, we saw The Miz try to get a rematch for the Tag Team Championships. He also wanted something done with Dan Angler, and Nick Aldis is like, well, Dan Angler was cursed. And then Nick Aldis said what he could do is put Kit Wilson in the ring with Dan Housen. So we got Dan Housen's first match in WWE, picked up the victory over Kit Wilson. I think this was a great match for Kit Wilson. Dan Housen, when Kit Wilson was about to drop the elbow off the top rope, cursed Kit Wilson. Pyro went off, crotched Kit Wilson. Miz got poked in the eyes. He hit that pump kick, got the victory. I think this was a fine first match for Danhausen. And then the Miz went to attack Danhausen afterwards. The lights went out. Danhausen ran off. Earlier, Rhea Ripley backstage took out B-Fab. Later on, she took out Mia Yim. Main event, we saw Jade Cargill pick up the victory over Io Sky. This match, this went past 11. I don't know if we've ever seen that before, but I'm not about that. Jade Cargill controlled the majority of this match. I liked the rear naked choke that Io used as a counter to the press slam. But you knew, I mean, you had to at least assume that Jade Cargill was winning this match. She grabbed a chair afterwards, went to attack Io, and Rhea Ripley ran down, made the save. I think I am very, very torn on who's going to win that match at WrestleMania. I'm leaning towards Rhea Ripley, though. But that is SmackDown. I'm going to take a quick little break, and I'll be right back here on Markin' Out.
Hey, this is Danielle Fishel. You're listening to Markin' Out.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Markin' Out, episode 792. Moving back to AAA from last week, it opened up with El Macias, Mecha Wolf, and Lince Dorado picking up the victory over the Tokyo Bad Boys. I thought this was a super random team at first, but then they made sure to point out they're all from Puerto Rico, and then it just made me assume that they're going to be seeing the Lucha Libre World Cup soon. And this match was wild. Team Puerto Rico, I think, worked really well together, so I'm looking forward to seeing more of their matches together. You saw Flammer pick up the victory over Susie Love to retain the championship. This was my first time seeing Susie Love, and we really didn't get to see much of it, which I guess kind of like rightfully so, but it wasn't a one-sided match. So what we did get to see of her, I liked. She had some unique offense. Now we move to a live date. Obviously, I'll talk about it next week, but man, oh man, I could be completely wrong, but Catalina left CMLL, which is really crazy. It seems like she might be headed to AAA to dethrone Flammer. We'll find out. By the time you're listening to this, we probably already saw that. So, we'll see. Penta came out, spoke about defending the Intercontinental Championship in Mexico in AAA. He hyped up the match against Vikingo. He also put Vikingo over. So, I'm definitely looking forward to that match. I'll talk about that again next week. We saw in the main event, Team European Union, Elio LaFleur, Dorian Van Dux, and Axiom picking up the victory over Team UK, Charlie Dempsey, Tristan Angels, and Nathan Fraser. This was obviously taped before LaFleur was unfortunately injured. He was really good in this match, though. It was interesting to see Fraxium on opposite teams. I feel like this was the first time that we saw Nathan Fraser like this in like many, many months. But literally everyone in this match was impressive. It was nice to see Axiom versus Nathan Fraser again. It did break down into the move, move, move gimmick that I don't like. But LaFleur ends up getting the victory. It's honestly too bad that he's injured. Because that was a very, fun match to watch. They were a fun team. Obviously, we won't see them again. Moving over to TNA Impact, it opened up with the TNA Championship contract signing. Mike Santana and Eddie Edwards. It opened, though, Santino, Daria Ray. She introduced Eddie Edwards. Also cuts off Santino to introduce Mike Santana. Eddie brought up how they both started in TNA as tag team wrestlers. And they both climbed the ladder to win the TNA Championship twice. But then, when things got tough for Mike Santana, he left. Meanwhile, Eddie Edwards stayed. He fought for TNA. He name-dropped the Inner Circle here. Mike Santana said that he had to leave in order to find out who he really is. But wherever he went, his heart was always with TNA. And eventually, Cedric Alexander showed up. He attacked Mike Santana. Leon Slater made the save. They're going to be facing off at Rebellion. First match saw Jada Stone pick up the victory over Danny Luna. This was Danny Luna's last match taped for TNA. Still, it really sucks that she's gone from the company. Tasha Steelz did commentary here. She distracted Jada Stone at one point, and Danny Luna was able to continue control. After a while, though, it was pretty even. Jada Stone got, I would say a huge victory over Danny Luna here. And then Tasha Steelz attacked Jada Stone after the match. I think Jada Stone, I've been saying this for a few weeks now, has a bright future. Danny Luna, I assume by the time this is out, or by the time you listen to this, she maybe already showed up on AEW programming. I feel like it's a no-brainer to 100% get Danny Luna, except on AEW, the women's division's not really booked, so it's a waste to me. Taryn Terrell had a segment. She had returned a few weeks ago. She's teaming with Mickey James and ODB to face the Elegance brand at Rebellion. She said that her career was cut short. She didn't get to end it on her terms. And she's watched all these years, and then the Elegance brand interrupted. They yelled at her. They blamed people like Taryn Terrell for why Ash by Elegance was off TV. And the personal concierge showed a video of ODB and Mickey James laid out backstage. M and Heather took Taryn Terrell out. Mr. Elegance joined in. He took security out. He body slammed Taryn Terrell. I believe the Elegance brand will be losing at Rebellion, though. Yet Frankie Kazarian picked up the victory over BDE. Earlier, they aired a video of Elijah in the cemetery. They were in New Orleans. And Frankie Kazarian attacked Elijah. Ryan Nemeth did commentary here. The match I thought was fine, but I feel like they really need to do something more with BDE. There was no way he was winning this match, but I feel like, I don't know, to me, he just feels like enhancement talent, but he's not. So I need to see more from him. Nemeth rubbed the loss in BDE's face afterwards. Kazarian really wanted nothing to do with it. And when Ryan Nemeth held BDE for Kazarian to punch him, the lights went out. Elijah showed up, choked Kaz out. Dropped Ryan Nemeth, and then Frankie Kazarian escaped anyway. We saw Elena Black pick up the victory over Myla Grace. We need more Myla Grace on TV. I figured Elena Black would win this match, but I think Myla Grace and Harley Hudson are enjoyable to watch. I would like to see a lot more of them on TV in longer matches. This was too short. Whether or not they push them in the tag division, you don't really have that many tag teams right now in AEW. In TNA. So I would like to see them pushed more, hopefully. We saw Ricky Sosa interviewed, and he said that he wants to show the world what he's all about. Eric Young interrupted. It led to a challenge from Ricky Sosa. Eric Young ends up attacking him. They get into the ring. Sosa escaped a pile driver attempt. Eventually, though, he did get hit with the pile driver. We had a backstage, or not even a backstage, we had an Undead Realm vignette segment. Father James Mitchell spoke to Tessa Blanchard about it. Rosemary and Mara Sade were going through it. She also brought Allie in. Mila Moore was roaming around the Undead Realm. Havoc took her out. Rosemary sent Allie with Mara Sade out to find the others. Victoria Crawford was roaming around. But Rosemary needed something from Father James Mitchell. And he was saying how you can't expect something without it, something else in return. She had Abyss for him. So Abyss made his return to TNA. They thought that was awesome. I don't know the last time we saw Abyss on TNA programming. But he was wearing the same AJ Styles retirement outfit that he had. So it was really cool to see Abyss again on TNA programming. After that, Mustafa Ali came out. And he called Trey Miguel out so he could address him. And Mustafa Ali said that he's too good for TNA. He ran down Trey Miguel's past. But Trey Miguel owned up to all of it. And then Mustafa Ali made fun of him for being alone. He brought up the Rascals not being there anymore. And Mustafa Ali said that Order 4 is his family. Trey Miguel's like, well, the Rascals are my family. They're always going to be my family regardless of where they are. And Mustafa Ali told Order 4 to leave the ring, let him beat Trey Miguel by himself no matter what happens. Trey Miguel takes him down, Order 4 takes Miguel out, and then Moose made the save. I feel like that segment kind of predictable outside of the Moose involvement. Main event saw the Hardy Boys pick up the victory over the Righteous in a tables match to retain the championships. Matt Hardy went through a table pretty early on, but it didn't count because he did it himself. Eventually, though, gets back into it. Jeff Hardy took out a 20-foot ladder. Matt set Dutch up. Vincent ripped Jeff Hardy off the ladder, breaks the ladder so they can't use the ladder anymore. I like that aspect of it. Take something that the Hardys are so good at using out of play. Dutch went to put Jeff Hardy through, but instead Matt Hardy counters that, holds him. They put him through one of the tables. And then Vincent, pretty like instantly after that, knocked Matt Hardy off the apron through one of the tables. That takes him out of the match, kind of, like or one of the falls, I should say. Matt Hardy then eventually sets Vincent up for Jeff Hardy to hit the Swanton through the table. They get the victory. And then to end Impact, Dutch sends Jeff Hardy through a table. He knocked Matt Hardy down as well. I guess just weakens them for the system at Rebellion. But that is TNA Impact. Hey, Brandon, you got any shout-outs?
Shalom, Jay Silver here. And you're about to listen to my favorite part of the show, Brandon Shalom's. Oh, I mean Brandon shout-outs.
The first shout-out goes to Mike and Nick. And Nick and Alice, have you heard about this film at all?
No, nothing.
It's a new movie out on Hulu starring Vince Vaughn, James Marsden, Isa Gonzalez, and Vince Vaughn. He plays two of himself there. It's organized crime, but there's time traveling, there's double crossings. Jimmy Tatro's in it, Keith David, Stephen Root, Ben Schwartz. So many more people appear in this film. They literally leave it open where they could 100% have a sequel, but apparently the writer and director said he put everything into the first film, so it would be self-contained and they won't be doing a sequel. But I really enjoyed the movie and I would 100% watch a sequel to this. So, hopefully they do, but I enjoyed this movie, so I would say 100% check it out. My next shout-out goes to Anaconda. Did you see the original?
I
Yeah, I've seen the original. I started this one, but then I fell asleep.
So
I have to go back and finish it.
It's streaming now on Netflix. I watched it. I wanted to see it in theaters, but I didn't. Stars Jack Black, Paul Rudd, Tandy Newton, and Steve Zahn. They're a group of friends who used to make movies as kids. They all obviously grew apart, but they always wanted to remake Anaconda, and they finally get to do that. It doesn't break the fourth wall, but it's a pretty meta film. And I thought they did a really good job with the comedy. I think they did a good job with the action, the thriller aspects of it. The cameos I thought were great, especially if you saw the original movie. I don't know if we're going to get a sequel out of this movie, but the ending, it sets it up for one. So
I don't think you need one.
No, it's not necessary, but they do 100% set it up to where, like, maybe there will be a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible. But I very much so enjoyed this. And you get, like, the little reunion between Jack Black and Steve Zahn there. I thought that was cool. My last shout-out goes to Pizza Movie. Ever hear about this? I'm going to say no.
You know the answers.
New movie out on Hulu. I don't know how to describe this, but Gaten Matanzaro and Sean Jambroni star in it as college roommates. I feel like both of them kind of got typecasted here because Gaten was a nerd in Stranger Things. Sean was a nerd on the Goldbergs. They're both nerds here, and they end up, they take a hallucinogen, takes them on a journey for pizza. Lulu Wilson.
Sounds like the White Castle movie.
Yeah, you can compare, like, it's like a completely unrealistic film, but you can compare it to similar movies like Pineapple Express, This Is the End, Harold and Kumar, like you had said. Lulu Wilson, Daniel Radcliffe, Peyton Elizabeth Lee, Sarah Sherman, a bunch more appear in this film. I wasn't expecting this movie to be anything like this, but I laughed a bunch. This has fourth wall breaking moments in it. And I would watch a sequel to this as well. I feel like it's like not at all necessary to have a sequel to this, but I enjoyed it. This is like the kind of comedy, not that I'm like huge into stoner comedy whatsoever, but this was more, I think this was less stoner comedy and more like they were high, but they're also like super nerdy. So it's like a good balance there. So I recommend that. Like, okay. I said, it's on Hulu, and those are my shout outs. Now it's time for our our mark out moment of the week. I will say, as an update for WWE 2K26, after we recorded, we recorded early that week, but we already recorded. I really didn't feel like going back and editing things. They actually ended up adding the button holding mini game to my faction, so I'm thankful for that. Now I actually have a shot at playing matches and winning matches in that mode. But I think it's absolutely embarrassing that it took them 25 days to realize how dumb that was. So I feel like I just needed to update that. We're getting Demolition and Kelly Kelly next week, so I'm pumped for... Well, I was kind of pumped.
That's pretty cool.
The Demolition theme song is a knockoff. I guess there was some lawsuit that they might not have been able to use the Rick Derringer theme song.
That sucks.
It is... I mean, it's a cover, so at least it's the actual song, but it's just not the actual song. WWE Vault, though, added Zack Ryder and Tyson Kidd versus Roddy Piper and Rob Dyrdek from Access last week onto the YouTube channel. They had Matt and TJ talk about it beforehand. The MTV version of this was filmed and cut much differently, so it was cool to see the full match. There was also like moments where the camera was like dropping. they just like kept filming. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was cool. That's still like one of those like beyond out there access matches that have taken place. You have any mark out moments?
Because
I have like a million.
No, not this week. I don't think so.
Well, Conan O'Brien did an update for his podcast with Danhausen to congratulate him on signing with WWE. And I think that's a pretty cool thing that they did. If there was ever going to be a time we saw Conan O'Brien and Danhausen on TV together, I think it would be in WWE. I believe it was a 5-year update. So I thought that was pretty cool. So if you haven't heard that episode of Conan's podcast, I think it's Conan Needs a Fan. go check that out. Obviously, Danhausen isn't on there as a celebrity guest. He's on there as a fan of Conan O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd recommend that. I will say Saturday Night Live, they had a Five Timers Club sketch open up SNL. I thought it was awesome. Jack Black hosted with Jack White as the musical guest. This was something that was a joke a few years ago and finally happened. And Jack Black was a 5-time host. Jack White's a 5-time musical guest. You had Jonah Hill, Tina Fey, Candace Bergen, Melissa McCarthy appear in the sketch as well. The Jacks then did a 5-timers club version of Seven Nation Army, which was honestly one of those moments that I would have, like, if I could pick a moment from SNL to have been there live for, that's one of those moments I would have liked to have been there for. Because it was so energetic, the crowd was singing. I wouldn't have been singing, but I'm a big fan of that song, obviously, because of pro wrestling. They chant it there, so I think it's cool to see that. Mm-hmm. And then the other markout moment that I have, American Idol did 90s Night this week. And they had Andrea Barber, Mark Curry, Holly Robinson, Pete, Danielle Fishel, Danica McKellar, Caroline Ray, and Reginald Vell Johnson. But they also had the band performing snippets of the TV theme songs of the celebrities that were there. Jesse Frederick was there and performed Everywhere You Look, Second Time Around, and As Days Go By from Full House, Step by Step, and Family Matters for those characters. I would have been like losing my mind, even though they were like little snippets. I would really like to hear those songs live and to have the actual person who sang them do it. That would have been like, that would have been one of the coolest things I've ever seen live. Like up there with John Stamos singing Forever with the Beach Boys. So that would have been cool
to
see.
That is pretty cool to see that you saw.
Yeah. Multiple times at this point. But those are, no, actually, did I not? I don't think I ever saw it. I think I saw that once, actually. The other time they had Dennis perform it, a video was performing it. But those are the markout moments of the week. That is episode 792. We've been having audio issues on, or streaming issues, I should say. So thank you for bearing with us there. You can follow us on Twitter at MarkingOut, at BTTG161, at ChrisSweenDog, CMSweeney85, DavidPTDPT on all platforms. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/MarkingOut. YouTube and Instagram, MarkingOut11. ProWrestlingTees.com/MarkingOut. At MarkingOut on TikTok, you could rate, review, subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts. I don't know what's going on. iHeartRadio, I think, is just like done right now. The stream is just,
I mean, I don't even think anybody listens on iHeartRadio.
People do. There are subscribers there, so thank you if you still subscribe. Go check us out on Spotify. They have the backlog for hopefully, my fingers are crossed, hopefully that doesn't leave. And then, of course, MarkingOut.com. You can check us out. Did I say YouTube already? I did. So we wish you
the
best of luck in your future endeavor. Have a fantastic.